Today's Shiur of Mishnah Berurah is Siman Yudalid. We're up to Siv Dalid, and we're continuing the halachas of talis and borrowing a talis. And yesterday we talked about what happens when someone borrows a talis or borrows a four-cornered garment. Now he continues on. Mutali told talis chaveru levarach aleh. It is permitted to take someone else's talis that you see, let's say in the shul or whatever, and make a bracha on it. On condition, provided that you fold it back up the way you took it. As if you see it, it was folded up, and now you're taking it, so you have to fold it back up. Comes the Ramah, the same thing applies to tefillin. But it's also to go ahead and learn from others' svarim below daito without his knowledge, because it's a concern that maybe you will rip the svarim while you're learning them, and therefore the individual would be makbid that you not go ahead and borrow his svarim. Let's see. The Mishnah will explain what's this halacha based on. Why is it possible? Why is it okay to take someone's talis without his permission? L'chayra, that's considered a shoel shalomidas, which is a Gzela, Shoel Shalomidas is a Goslin. So how could you just go ahead and take someone else's item without asking them? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, Sif Katan Yud Gimel, Perish Shalomidai. So you could take it without the knowledge of the owner. Because there's a presumption that a person is happy for his property to be used for a mitzvah. The Dafka Be'akrai. But this is permitted only occasionally. Aval B'kri is Aser. But to do so regularly, it is Aser. You cannot. Afil Be'akrai. And even when you do it occasionally, dafka b'isa makom. It's only if you are wearing it in the exact spot where you've got it. Avalotzio mi beso, but to take it from his house to the shul, like neses o ipcha, to take it from his house to the shul or from the shul to his house to his own house, that would be aser. Deafshem shemakbid alav havigezal. It's possible that he's makbid, and then it would be gzela if he's makbid that you don't want it, he doesn't want you to take it and take it to other places and things like that. Then it would be gezal. It's only where It's a presumption that he would want you to have it. So if you're going to take it in that exact spot and just put it on and put it back and fold it up, that would be okay. He says a person should be careful. If the actual owner is there, you should ask him. And you don't rely on this chazaka and this presumption. If you could clarify it easily, you don't rely on this chazaka. And for sure, obviously, if you know that he's makbid, so then obviously you have to ask him if you know that he cares about his talis not to possibly lend it out. And you can make a bracha. He says it's better to, in such a case, to have kavana, not to be kaina and not to be mivarech. The reason being is because in this case, the guy has no clue that he is being makneh to you. So for there to be a presumption that he's being makneh when he doesn't even know that he's giving it to you, it's one thing if he's shoel. So we say the assumption is he wants you to go ahead and be able to be yoytze with the mitzvah, okay, when he's giving it to you. So therefore, he's giving it to you, b'tayras, a matan al-manas la'atzir. But here he doesn't even know that he's giving it to you. So therefore, it's better to have kavana, not to be kaina, and not to make the bracha. Tezvav, she'yikapel oysa, and you're allowed to again put it on, she'yikapel oysa, b'kipula ha-rishon. He says, what you should do when you fold it back up, you should fold it back up the same way it was folded when you took it. However, Shabbos, the kapaloso veloki kulishon. However, on Shabbos, there, obviously, you know, you're not supposed to fold up your talis the same way on Shabbos. If you're going to be folding up a talis on Shabbos, it's supposed to not be folded on the creases, on the same creases. You're supposed to fold it a different way than when you got it and when you opened it up. So it's the same way, in this case, on Shabbos, the way you got it from this person that you're taking it from, you, when you return it, fold it up, it should not be on Shabbos exactly the same way. But Magen Avraham, Mekel b'Shabbos, Shalola Kapel Klal. Magen Avraham actually says that on Shabbos, you would not have to be in the Kapel at all, folded at all. The guy would understand. Obviously, according to Magen Avraham, that would be implied in his being able to do the mitzvah. Sif, Katan, Tes, Zayin. So the Ramah said, Svarim, one should not go ahead and borrow without the knowledge. Afilu be'akroi be'alma, even occasionally. V'chayshin and shema yikra b'hen harbe, because the concern is you might be reading a lot from it, achi yiskaro, until it gets torn from great usage, from Meirov HaBishmush. He says the problem is that the minhag seems to be that when people find a sitter in shul or a machzer in shul, they take it and they daven with it. I don't really know what the heter is. The maishna sitter misvarim. He doesn't know why a sitter should be different than svarim. He says why people are not makbid when it comes to borrowing people's sidurim. Now it's interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan writes that nowadays it is common practice to look in a sefer or to daven from a siddur or machzer that belong to another person, as most people are not makbid about such usage. The sefer called Living Halacha, page 307, quotes of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach as adding, today the minhag is that if someone does not want others to use the sefer, he writes so inside the sefer's cover. Therefore, if such is not written inside the sefer, one then can assume that the owner is not makbid. Nevertheless, he adds that one must be sure not to move it from where one found it, so that the owner will not lose time searching for it. One other important nakuda here is something that we mentioned yesterday. If you saw in the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah had said that even though the Shulchan Aruch says that you can go ahead and take a talis that you find, let's say in the shul, and in that spot, the Shulchan Aruch says you can put it on and make a bracha. So he quotes the Magen Avraham and the Derech HaChaim that have issues with this, and Derech HaChaim actually says it's better not to make a bracha on it by going ahead and having kavana not to be kaina. What is their issue? So we said that their issue is that you can't say that the owner had in mind to go ahead and be makna as a matana al menas lahachsir. You can't say that they are going ahead and giving it over that way, because they don't even know. The owner doesn't even know that the person is taking it. So how could that be a matana al-manas lahasir? Now, the Magen Avraham, he quotes, actually says that it's not such a big deal to make a bracha, because, as we said yesterday, that someone, at least according to the Ramah, who holds that a woman can make a bracha on mitzvahs that they're not obligated in. So to hear the person who borrowed the talis, he might not be obligated, but he can be mekayim the mitzvah and say a bracha even though he borrowed it. But the Derech HaChaim says, as we said yesterday, he says not so simple, because the only time there is a heter to make a bracha, he says, and we saw that it was sort of like this implication yesterday as well, is when you are borrowing a talis of a four-cornered garment without the tzitzis. So in such a case, when you're borrowing a four-cornered garment, so then you could be mekayim the mitzvah by putting on tzitzis and making the bracha. But when you actually borrow the tzitzis themselves, meaning the talis with the tzitzis, there you can't even be mekayim the mitzvah if you wanted to, and it'll be a bracha levatala. So therefore, that's why the Derech HaChaim, unlike the Magen Avraham, he suggests to have kavanah not to be kaina and make the, and therefore you would not have to make the bracha. So we have three opinions here. We have the Shulchan Aruch, who seemingly holds that there's no problem making the bracha, because there's an assumption that he would want to be makne to you. Again, it's a shaila how that actually works. It's almost like it's Yeish Shalemi Das type of situation, but he holds that you'd be able to make a bracha because the presumption is that it's being given to you al the matana al-manas lahatzim. When you take the talis and you find it in the shul and you put it on, the Magen Avraham says that's problematic, but still you'd be able to make the bracha because it's no worse than borrowing. And then you have the Derech HaChaim, who says that, what do you mean? Borrowing, you can't make a bracha, you can't be yotzei, even like women, if you're actually borrowing the tzitzis strings themselves. And therefore, be better in such a case to have kavana not to be kaina and to therefore not make the bracha. Sif hei, talis shel shutfin, chayeves besitzis de siv al kamfei bigdehem. The talis of of partners, of shutvim, requires tzitzis, because the pasuk says, on the corners of their garments, al kamfei bigdeihem. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah on this. Shel shutvin, v'talis shel shutvus nachri v'yisrael, o ish v'isha, hayeves v'sitzis v'lo yivarech alav. That's the artist achayim, v'lo k'demesek Eliezer ayin sham. So the talis that is jointly owned by a non-Jew and a Jew, or a man and a woman, that requires tzitzis. But he says one cannot make a bracha over such a talis that is jointly owned by a non-Jew and a Jew, or a man and a woman. This is the psak of the Artes Achayim. He's cholek on the Damesek Eliezer. The Artes Achayim, he quotes the opinion of the Damesek Eliezer, who maintains that the garment requires tzitzis only if both partners are obligated in the mitzvah. If one of the owners is a non-Jew or a woman, there's no obligation of tzitzis upon the male Jewish partner. And the Artes Achayim himself, he disagrees. He notes that in any event, only the person currently wearing the talis is obligated, so it should make no difference whether the other partner is obligated in tzitzis or not. So, but nevertheless, the Artes Achayim writes that one should not recite a bracha out of concern for the opinion of the Damesek Eliezer. Sif katon yud ches chayeves. This refers to a situation in which one of the shutvim is agreeable for the other partner to wear it, and the garment has no tzitzis. So in this situation, chayiv lasois boy tzitzis. So in this situation, one is obligated to put tzitzis on it. However, aval shutvin v'yesh bo tzitzis ve'echad makbid al chaveiro shelo yelech bo. But shutvin partners who jointly own a garment which has tzitzis, and one of the partners is makbid, is particular, the other not wear it, afilu yesh bo kidei chaluka uvechol chelek shir talis. As even if it is big enough to divide between them, with each piece having the dimensions of a talis that requires tzitzis, afilu hachi im lovsho, even so, if he wears it, big zela, if the other one partner wears it, it is considered theft. And he says, if someone would make a bracha on it, over lotzisai, be over the avera of do not take Hashem's name in vain. Because one half of the talis, which has two of the tassels, is not his. A dayan tzitzis, and this is certainly also true if the talis did not have tzitzis. According to this, the talis shenishal layorish me'ov v'shar echav makdin alav yesh lizar shal levarach alav atchis bashu b'neim. Accordingly, if a talis was left to yorshim, to an inheriting son by his father, and his other brothers are makbid about him using their share, the son should refrain from assigning a bracha over it and wearing it until they reach some type of shara. To explain what's going on here is as follows, that if one partner wishes to dissolve the partnership, the other partner can be forced to agree to a dissolution so long as the item in question is big enough that each partner would receive a share that is significant in its own right, such that the dissolution causes no loss. So one might assume that the fact that the partner currently wearing the talis owns enough of it to compel a split of the partnership and still have a talis large enough to require tzitzis, so that would be a reason for him to be obligated even without having dissolved the shutvus. And the Mishnah Berurah addressed this, and he says, even so, even if it is big enough to divide between them with each piece having the dimensions of a talis that requires tzitzis, if the other partner wears it, it is considered theft and a bracha levatala, and it's a saying Hashem's name in vain. And he explains why. He explains because this is because one half of the talis, which has two of the tassels, is not his. And he explains that even though he owns half, which has the dimensions of a valid talis in its own right, only two of the corners with their two respective tassels are his. The other two corners, along with their respective tassels, do not belong to him, and he therefore cannot recite a bracha over it. Now the Be'er Halacha, in Dibrei Ma'aseh Talis Shel Shutvin, he takes issue with this explanation, Okay, but he agreed to the Prima Gadim for a different reason. I ain't shum. And again, based on this psak, the Mishnah Berurah says what he says with respect to the Yershim as well. Even if a talis was left to an inheriting son by his father, and his other brothers are makbid about him using their share, the son should refrain from reciting a bracha over it and wearing it until they reach some type of pshara regarding it.